إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا.
والصلاة والسلام على
سيدنا محمد وعلى آله أجمعين. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
May the praise and blessings of Allah be upon him and his followers until the day of judgment. We stopped in the explanation of the book of Fiqh Sunnah and the topic of funerals, title of washing the dead for preparation for the burial of the dead. And this to prepare the deceased for burial includes washing him and performing the funeral prayer on him and then burying him. So to wash the dead person, to wrap him in the coffin
كفن
and perform the prayer and then bury him. And the body of the deceased person must be prepared for burial, washed and shrouded, and a funeral prayer must be offered for him. Then he should be buried. And we will go over the rules pertaining to each of these steps in detail. Washing the dead. The majority of jurists are of the opinion that washing the body of a dead Muslim is a fard kifaya or a collective obligation. If some people attend to it, it is done on behalf of all as commanded by Allah's Messenger and practiced by the Muslim community. So when we say fard kifaya, it means that when a few people perform it, then it's done on behalf of everybody else. But if nobody does it, then everybody will be accountable for it. So if a person dies in a certain town and he is buried without being washed, then everybody who knew about him will be accountable and will be held responsible for that mistake. Now who is to be washed and who is not? The body of a deceased Muslim other than one killed in a battlefield by the infidels should be washed. So every Muslim except for the martyr who gets killed in the battlefield should be washed. Now washing several parts of a body. So sometimes in accidents or in battlefields, for example, some people lose parts of their bodies. Part of the body might be severed, and so the whole body might not be found. So only a part of that body might be found. So what should one do? What should one do with those severed parts? There is a difference of opinion among Muslim jurists concerning washing parts severed from a body. According to Al-Shafi'i, Ahmad al-Ibn Hazm, these parts must be washed and shrouded, and funeral prayer should be offered for the departed soul. Al-Shafi'i said, we were informed that a bird dropped a human hand in Mecca after the battle of the Camp. The people identified it by a ring on one of its fingers.
الجمل كانت يعني في نواحي العراق
Now about the battle of the camel. It took place in the outskirts of Iraq, or close to Iraq. So there was a bird that had that brought a hand and dropped it on the people there. So it was discovered that from the ring in one of the fingers of the hand, that the hand belonged to Abd al-Rahman ibn Utab ibn Utab ibn Usayd. So the hand was washed and the funeral prayer was offered on it. This was witnessed by many companions alive at the time, companions of the Prophet Ahmad said Abu Ayyub offered funeral prayer on a severed foot of a dead person, while Umar offered prayer on a dead man, on a dead man's bones. Ibn Hazm said a funeral prayer may be offered on any organ found from a dead Muslim's body. It should be washed and shrouded except when it is part of a martyr's body. So if it is, if people may make certain that this part belongs to a martyr, then it should not be, then funeral prayer should not be offered in that person, that part. And when actually, if it belongs to a martyr, it can be offered. Prayer can be offered on the martyr, but it's preferable not to offer it.
قال وينوي بالصلاة على ما وجد منه الصلاة على جميع جسده وروحه.
ابن حزم further remarks that offering prayer on any organ found from a Muslim's body is analogous to praying for the whole person of the deceased, namely for body and soul.
وهذا يعني الجزء هذا هو الذي وجد منه فهو في نيته أنه يصلي على المتوفى عموما.
So when we offer the prayer on that severed part, we intend to offer the prayer on the whole body. Abu Hanifa and Malik say, however, that if more than half of a Muslim's body is found, then it should be washed and funeral prayer be offered on it. But otherwise it should not be washed, nor should any funeral prayer be offered on it. So Abu Hanifa and Malik, they differ with Ash-Shafi and Ahmad. And say that only if more than half of the body of a Muslim person is found, that it should be washed and funeral prayer be offered on it. Otherwise, the part of the body should only be buried without any funeral prayer. But the opinion of Ash-Shafi and Ahmad seemed to be the more likely one, or the more correct one, because this was the practice of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, those of them who found any severed part of a Muslim person. And here we have to note that this pertains to the to a part of a dead person. But if a limb of a living person is found, then it should not be washed or nor funeral prayer be offered on it, but should just be wrapped and buried without offering prayer on that part, because the separate part of the body of the person. The person is still alive and he has not died.
هذا إذا كان جزء من إنسان لا يزال على قيده، لكن إذا وجد جزء من متوفى وكذلك أيضا إذا وجد جزء مجهول، يعني إنسان مثلا مشى في الطريق.
So this is if a part of a living person is found, then it should not be washed or nor should the funeral prayer be offered on him. But what we have been covering here in the previous discussion while pertains to parts of dead people and also parts of unknown people. If part of an unknown person is found, then it should be washed and covered and wrapped and then buried. And this again, this part has to be believed. It has to be most likely it has to belong to a Muslim person, not to a non-Muslim person. If a part is not, if people are not certain it's not more likely to them that it belongs to a Muslim person and it should not be
Next
topic is a martyr does not need to be washed. The body of a martyr that is a Muslim killed in a battlefield at the hands of disbelievers may not be washed even though it is in a state of major ritual impurity. His body should not be enshrouded in the clothes. His body should be enshrouded in the clothes he wore when he died, if they are good enough for the purpose. Otherwise, some additional cloth may be used to enshroud his body according to the sunnah. So if the clothes that the martyr was wearing were torn or that they were not covering the whole body of the person, then more cloth may be added to cover the rest of the body.
الثياب التي يحتاج إليها في ستره من الثياب التي كان يلبسها. قال ويدفن في دماء.
Now the body of such a person should be buried in its blood-stained state. None of his blood should be washed off.
الشهيد الذي قتل بأيدي الكفرة في المعركة هذا يعني احترازا من الشهيد الذي هو يعني لم يقتل في المعركة وإنما هو في حكم الشهيد
And here the author says that this is for the martyr that was killed in a battle at the hands of disbelievers, and this is to distinguish between this and those who die and get the reward of martyrs, but they're not treated like martyrs. And there are many categories of those people, like the as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, like the one who is killed in by fire, and the one who drowns, and several other categories. They have the reward of martyrs. They are martyrs, but they are not treated as martyrs when it comes to washing them and burying
them.
Now Ahmad reported the Prophet ﷺ said, "Do not wash those who die as martyrs, for their every wound or drop of blood will exude a fragrance like musk on the day of judgment." The Prophet ﷺ ordered the martyrs of the battle of Uhud to be buried in their blood-stained clothes. They were not washed, nor any funeral prayer offered for them. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered them to be buried in their clothes that they were killed in.
قال الشافعي لعل ترك الغسل والصلاة
الشافعي said burying the martyrs without washing or offering funeral prayer on them may be explained by the fact that they shall meet Allah with their wounds exuding fragrance like musk. The honor bestowed on them by Allah frees them from the need for funeral prayers by others. Moreover, it makes things easier for the surviving Muslims who may have received injuries in battle and fear the enemy's attack and may be concerned about the security of their families and their families and their families' worries about them.
غير مطلوب شيء زيادة عن هذا. هذا له حكم عديدة. فمن هذه الحكم يعني كما ذكر الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله أنهم أولا جروحهم ودماؤهم هذه.
So burying the martyr in the blood-stained clothes without washing them or without removing any of the blood carries a lot of wisdom. As Shafi said, and that one of them is that one wisdom is that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their wounds emitting fragrance like musk, and that also the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on them frees them from the need for funeral prayers by others on them. So they don't need the prayers of others for them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them a great state and rank in paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched them to need any the prayers of any other people on them. And also it is easier for the surviving people because if they have to take every martyr and wash him and offer funeral prayer for him and bury him, then this is a burden for the a burden on the surviving warriors. So this might actually expose them to danger of the soldiers fighting in that battlefield if they have to bring the martyrs, wash them and offer funeral prayer for them and then burying them. So all that's needed is just to take these martyrs and bury them in whatever state they may be, except that they have to be covered sufficiently so that their private part will not show.
عدم الصلاة على الشهيد لماذا؟ لأن الصلاة إنما على الأموات والشهداء أحياء كما قال الله تعالى إيه ولا تحسبن.
It is said that the wisdom behind not offering a funeral prayer on a martyr is that it is offered, meaning the funeral prayer is offered for a dead person, whereas a martyr is not dead but alive, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. Another reason may be that since prayer is a kind of intercession, the martyrs do not need it. In fact, they will intercede for others. And as we have just mentioned, that even if the martyr was killed in a state of major ritual impurity, that he should not be washed even if he died in that state. And the story and the evidence for that, the proof for that is the story of Hanbalah, who heard the call for the fighting just after he had intercourse with his wife, so he left and joined the army without without having washed. So he got killed, and the Prophet ﷺ did not order him to be washed, even though the Prophet ﷺ so the Prophet ﷺ saw that man, alhamdulillah, he saw the angels washing him between the earth and the heaven. So the Prophet ﷺ, this is how the Prophet ﷺ learned about his ritual impurity, that he sent somebody to ask his wife why, what was he doing the night before he joined the army, and she told them that he had not washed off a major ritual impurity.
والقول بعدم تغسيل الشهيد حتى لو مات جنبا هذا قول الجمهور العلماء قول الجمهور
and the opinion the opinion not to wash the martyr even if he was in major ritual impurity is the opinion of the majority of the Now the martyrs whose bodies must be washed and for whom funeral prayer must be performed. Those who are not killed in a battle by disbelievers, though they may be regarded as martyrs in Islamic law, should be washed and funeral prayer should be said for them. The bodies of such martyrs during the Prophet's time were washed. Later on, Muslims during the days of Umar, Uthman, and Ali continued this practice, washing the bodies of such martyrs. We give no details about these martyrs.
فهؤلاء قال يعني من كان منهم في زمن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يموت ناس بمثل هذه الحوادث في زمن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So those people who were in the categories that were regarded as martyrs, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, that those people were washed by at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and also the practice was continued by the Muslims during the days of Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Also.
وعلي رضي الله عنهما فقتلهما الخوارج الذين خرجوا عليهما رضي الله عنهما وقتلوهما وهؤلاء في حكم الشهداء بل إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نص على أن عمر شهيد وعلى أن عثمان شهيد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما كان على الجبل يعني على جبل أحد هو وأبو بكر وعمر
So for example, when Umar was stabbed by the non-believer, he still was washed, and even though the Prophet ﷺ told us that Umar was going to be a martyr, and also Uthman was going to be a martyr. From the story when the Prophet ﷺ was with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman once on the Mount of Uhud, and the Mount started to shake, so the Prophet ﷺ told us to be still. He said, "Be still, O Mount, because on top of you are a prophet and a believing person. And two martyrs, meaning the believing person is the extra believing person is Abu Bakr, and the two martyrs were Umar and Uthman."
يغسلون ويكفن يعني هو في حكم الشهيد ولكن يغسل ويكفن ما دام لم يقتل في أرض المعركة. أما من جهة الصلاة عليه.
They were washed but not shrouded. So Umar and Uthman were washed but not shrouded, and they were buried, and funeral prayer was offered for them.
عمر وعثمان رضي الله عنهما أحدهما صلى عليه المسلمون والآخر لم يصلوا عليه.
But there was a difference between the situation of Umar and Uthman, which is that one of them funeral for one of them, funeral prayer was offered, but for another one, for the other one, the funeral prayer was not offered for him. And this is the opinion of the scholars, that funeral prayer can be offered and can be can be abandoned, meaning that it's not necessary to offer the funeral prayer on such people who are regarded as martyrs without being killed on the battlefield.
قتل في المعركة بأيد الكفار. هذا شهيد الدنيا والآخرة. الدنيا يعني له معاملة خاصة وفي الآخرة هو شهيد. وأما شهيد الآخرة فقط فهو الأنواع التي سأتي ذكرها التي فهؤلاء يكون أجرهم في الآخرة الشهيد ولكن ليسوا شهداء في الدنيا من جهة المعاملة الدنيوية ليس لهم معاملة خاصة.
So the one who is killed in the battlefield is considered a martyr of this life and in the hereafter. But the rest of the categories are considered martyrs in the hereafter, but they are not martyrs in this life. So they are the martyrs of the hereafter, but not martyrs in, meaning that they are treated differently in this life, but in the hereafter they are treated as martyrs. Jabir ibn Utayk reported that the Prophet said there are seven kinds of martyrs besides those killed in the cause of Allah. One is a person who is killed in an epidemic. Second is a person who is drowned. Third is a person who has bad sores that cause fever and a bad cough resulting in his death. Number four, the fourth is a person who dies of a stomach disease. The fifth is a person who dies in a fire. The sixth is a person who dies under falling debris in a disaster. And seventh is a woman who dies during childbirth. So to go over them again, the first one is a person who is killed in an epidemic, meaning like something that a disease that is widespread, like the plague. And the second one is a person who is drowned, the one who dies by drowning. Is a martyr. The third is a person who has bad sores and cause fever and a bad cough resulting in his death. So this is another type of disease. And the person who dies of a stomach disease, there was a known disease that would hit the stomach. And the fifth is a person who dies in a fire, again is a martyr. And the sixth is a person who dies under falling debris in a disaster if his house falls on him. And the seventh is a woman who dies during childbirth, a woman who gets killed by her child, as the Prophet meaning that while she was giving birth to her child, she died. So these seven categories, anyone who dies by one of these causes will have rank of a martyr in the day of judgment in the hereafter, but should not be treated like a martyr when it comes to burying them.
يعني له أجور أخرى غير فقط يعني مجرد أجر الشهادة، يعني له أجر القتال في سبيل الله وأجر يعني نصرة الدين وإعلاء كلمة.
Question is, will the martyrs in these categories have the same rank in the hereafter like the one who gets killed in the battlefield? And the answer is, of course not. They will have the rank of martyrs, but of course the martyr who was killed in the battlefield will have some extra reward just for him, for his fighting for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the fears, for the fear that he has to endure and to experience, and the effort that he put forth in the battlefield. We can say that there is a minimum rank for the martyr, and then the ones who are killed in the battlefield will have some extra rewards that will elevate their ranks. Abu Hurairah reported that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked, "Who do you consider to be a martyr?" They said, meaning the companion said, "O Allah's Prophet, he who is killed fighting for the cause of Allah." The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "If this is so, then very few in my community will be martyrs." They asked, "Who else are they, O Allah's Messenger?" He said, "He who is killed fighting for Allah's cause is a martyr. He who dies in the cause of Allah is a martyr." Meaning that anyone who dies while he is performing a worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the one who, for example, goes for pilgrimage and he dies on the way, then he is a martyr. Anyone who dies while he is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in offering a prayer. So while offering any of the obligatory worships to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he dies, then he is a martyr. He who dies in an epidemic is a martyr, as we said above. He who dies in a plague, epidemic here is the plague as it was known at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because of the pain and suffering that they experience. He who dies from a stomach disease is a martyr, again the similar disease. And the one who dies of drowning is also a martyr. For the one who dies of a stomach disease, it doesn't mean the stomach literally, but anything in the guts, in the guts of the human being, any disease that hits and that affects the guts, the inside of a Muslim person. If he dies out of that disease, then he is a martyr. Sa'id ibn Zayd reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, "He who is killed while guarding his property is a martyr. He who is killed while defending himself is a martyr. And he who is killed defending his religion is a martyr. And he who dies protecting his family is also a martyr." So these are some additional categories for martyrs, martyrs of the hereafter, but not of this life. So they will have the reward of a martyr, but they are not treated like martyrs when it comes to burying them. So if, for example, if one dies while defending his property, his wealth, it doesn't mean that doesn't literally mean that he has to be defending. Like if a thief breaks into one's house and kills him while he is asleep to steal his money, for example, then that person is still considered a martyr, even though he was not defending. He was killed by the thief to steal his property. And again, he who is killed while defending himself, like if someone attacks another person, so if this person defends himself and he gets killed, then he's a martyr.
يكون صاحب
and he who is killed defending his religion is a martyr like
if
someone is attacked just because he is a Muslim or that some people might be attacking his religion and he defends it and he gets killed then he will be
يعني يقاتلني ليأخذ مال جاي يعني السلاح وكذا وشاهد عليه السلاح يريد أن إيه أن يأخذ ماله قال صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فقاتل قال يعني فقاتل
a man went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and asked him what do you think if a man came and attacked me with his weapon So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, then you fight back. So the man said, what if I get killed?
بغرض الدفاع عن مالي هو يريد أن يقتلني ليسرق مالي فقتلته لأدفعه
The man said, what if I kill him? He said he will be in hellfire. Then the man said, what if he kills me? Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, then you will be a martyr.
يعني إذا لم يستسلم
So if the attacking person did not give up and he fought until he got killed, then he will be in the hellfire. But if the person who was attacked gets killed, then that person will be a martyr. Question is, the brother is asking whether it's better to fight back if somebody attacks, if a robber, for example, attacks a store, then is it better to fight him or to let him take whatever he wants and not expose oneself to danger? So the answer is that depends on the situation. Whether it's better to fight back or not, it depends on the situation. If it, you have a choice, it's your choice. If you see that the danger is great and you don't want to expose yourself to danger, and then you can give him your wealth or your money. But if you think that you want to fight back and to defend your property, then that's also your choice. And if you get killed, then you'll be a martyr. Also, we have to take into consideration the fact that the laws of the country where one lives have to be taken into consideration. And the brother commented that if one kills somebody else while attacking him, kills a robber attacking him in his store, then that robber then the owner of the store will not be liable for anything. So legally the owner of the store who defends his store and kills the robber will not be liable for anything. But let's suppose that you were in a situation where you might be liable, then you have the choice again if you want to avoid that liability, if you want to avoid going to jail because of killing that person, even if he was attacking you, then that can be acceptable also if you choose not to defend yourself.
قال الكافر لا يغسل.
نعم. يعني هون من الملاحظ يعني إنه يعني كل إنسان يقتل يعني كل مسلم يقتل يعني بطريقة أو أخرى يعني هو شهيد يعني من الأحاديث المذكورة يعني من قتل دون ماله فهو شهيد ومن قتل يعني أي واحد يقتل واحد يعني مسلم فهو شهيد يعني.
نعم يعني بإذن الله يعني في الغالب يعني أن من قتل لكن طبعا فيه ممكن إنسان يقتل يعني وهو ظالم يعني هذا
لا مقصود يعني
هل أي مسلم يقتل فهو شهيد فالجواب يعني من قتل يعني مظلوما يعني أو في حالة من هذه الحالات.
From the previous hadith we can see that actually any Muslim who gets killed is a martyr, like because a Muslim would even be either be defending himself by against somebody attacking him, or against somebody who was after his property, or against somebody who wants to attack his family, or so any Muslim who gets killed unjustly, not any Muslim who gets killed, like because a Muslim can be a thief, for example, and he gets killed while attacking somebody else. But any Muslim who gets killed unjustly by somebody else, then he would be a martyr.
لكن إذا كان المسلم مقتول يعني قتل مظلوما بسبب الدفاع عن دينه أو الدفاع عن ماله أو عرضه أو كذا فهو شهيد. نعم.
ملاحظة عن الشهيد الذي قتل بعيد الكفار يعني.
نعم.
هل يعني إذا فئتان مثلا مؤمنتان التقتا وقتل منهم يعني مقاتلون يعني فهل يعتبرون شهداء أم لا؟
بالنسبة يعني إذا اقتتلت يعني طائفتان من المسلمين
Question is about the definition of the martyr, as the author said that if it is a Muslim killed in the battlefield by the disbelievers. But what about if two Muslim groups meet and fight against each other, then those who get killed are the martyrs or not? The answer is that when two Muslim groups meet and fight each other, then definitely one of them will be the transgressor and one of them will be a defender. And those who get killed defending from the defending group will be martyrs, but not from the transgressor
group.
So the ones who are killed from the transgressors are not considered martyrs. Next topic is a disbeliever is not to be washed. The author says that it is not necessary for a Muslim to wash a disbeliever's body. And actually it is it's not allowable. The majority of the scholars say that it is not allowable to wash the body of the disbeliever. Some scholars consider it permissible. According to the Maliki and the Hanafi scholars, a Muslim may not wash a disbeliever's body even if he is one of his near of kin. Similarly, a Muslim is not permitted to shroud him or bury him unless it is feared that the body would decompose because of weather conditions, or that it would attract predatory beasts, etc.
المسلم هذا هو القريب الوحيد يعني لهذا الكافر وإذا لم يقم هذا المسلم بدفن قريبه الكافر.
So the scholar said that even if the Muslim is the only relative of this disbeliever, then still the Muslim is not allowed, is not permitted to wash the disbeliever, unless there are compelling reasons to wash him, like if the Muslim is afraid that the body might decompose and emit foul odor, also if the Muslim fears that the dead body might attract some beasts, some dangerous beasts.
قال قلت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن عمك الشيخ الضال قد مات والمراد به أبو طالب يوم مات أبو طالب عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والد علي بن أبي طالب
This opinion is based on a tradition transmitted by Ahmad Abu Dawood, Nasa'i, and Al-Bayhaqi on the authority of Ali, who said, I said to Allah's Messenger, your uncle, the old misguided man, has passed away. The Prophet said, go and bury your father and don't do anything else until you return to me.
فكان آخر ما قال هو على ملة عبد المطلب. وهلك على إيه؟ على هذا هو على ملة.
So this is about Abu Talib, the father of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Who asked the Prophet ﷺ when his father died that your uncle, because Abu Talib was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, who died as a disbeliever, because the Prophet ﷺ pleaded with him to, while he was dying, to declare and to accept Islam, but he refused. He insisted on remaining a disbeliever. So when he died, Ali, the son of Abu Talib and the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, went to the Prophet and he told him that your uncle has passed away. Your uncle, the misguided man, Ali said, has passed away. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, go and bury your father and don't do anything else until you return to me.
في تغسيل الميت وكذلك في حمل الميت الذي يحمل الميت يستحب له أيضا أن يتوضأ أو يغتسل الذي يحمل الميت يستحب له أن يتوضأ. قال فدعا لي. قال أبو منذر ليس في غسلي.
So Ali then said I did as he had told me, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had told him, and went back to him. The Prophet ordered me to take a bath, and then he prayed for me. Ibn al-Mundhir says there is nothing specific reported from the Prophet about the procedure of washing the dead body. So the Prophet so Ali went and buried his father and went back to the Prophet commanded him to wash, to take a bath, and then he prayed for him. Washing a dead body, the entire body must be washed with water at least once, regardless of whether the deceased is a male and needed a ritual bath, or a female who was menstruating at the time of her death. It is recommended that the body be placed on an elevated surface, such as a table or a board, if then should be stripped of clothes, but his awra or private part should be covered. At the washing, only people whose presence is needed may stay.
وردت في السنة كلام نتكلم الآن عن غسل الحي، يعني قلنا غسل الحي منه ما هو مجزئ ومنه ما هو مستحب، هو الغسل الكامل. فالغسل المجزئ إنسان يعمم بدنه بالماء بأي كيفية كانت، والغسل المستحب اللي هو الكامل له
دين الصلاة أن يبدأ الإنسان. For the person who wants a ritual bath, like this is for a living person who needs a ritual bath, a person who was in a state of ritual impurity, or the woman who was menstruating, for example, who just came out of her menses, then the sufficient bath is the one that covers the whole body. There is a sufficient bath and there is a complete or perfect bath. So the one that is sufficient is just is simply to cover one's body, the whole body, then that is a sufficient bath. With the intention, of course, to be for this bath to be a ritual bath, to be a cleansing of the ritual impurity or for the woman of her menses. So this also applies to the deceased person.
That
to simply cover the person once, the body once with water, to cover the whole body with water will be sufficient. However, there's a preferable way. And this is by stripping one from his clothes and then to put him on an elevated place like a table and to cover, to just cover his private parts. Unless the dead person is a young person, boy or girl, who has not reached the age of the puberty, then it's not necessary to cover the private part. If it is a man, then he should be washed by men, and if it is a woman, then she should be washed by women. So the same thing applies, that the private parts should be covered in both cases. So this is the opinion of the majority of the jurists, that to strip one of his clothes except for between the belly button and the knee. However, Shafi said that it's preferable not to strip one of all his clothes, but it's better to cover him with something that is with some light garment, a light piece of cloth that would allow water to pass through to the body.
واحتج الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
الإمام الشافعي said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was washed in his shirt, in his clothes. So
صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا وبعد استقر رأيهم على تفصيل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بسيان طبعا لا مجدد
because the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم they had they debated whether they should wash him or not and then they settled on the opinion that to wash him in his clothes without taking his clothes off. So Imam Shafi used this incident to for his opinion, and he derived his opinion from this
في زمن الرسول
incidents.
صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد وفاة
النبي. But the other scholars said that this was only particular to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم were washed without clothes. Except of course for the private parts, as we said that for the hour between the belly button and the knee. But the companions again were washed with no clothes on. This is another important thing, which is that the ones who are needed for washing the body should be present, and nobody else. So if two people are needed to wash the body, then then only two people should be present, not three. And again, only the people needed for washing that body should stay, and everybody else should leave.
So
anyone who just wants to witness or to watch the process is not welcome in the washing room. The washer, male or female, must be a trustworthy and pious person who will not broadcast what he or she might see except what is good. Because a trustworthy will only talk good about what he saw, and he will not spread anything bad that he might see. He or she might see while washing the dead person.
Like حزن ولا بدي عليها ضيق ولا وجهه مثلا تغير لونه أو كذا إلى زرقاء ولا.
Like the changes in the color of the body, for example, that might indicate something about the state of that person when he died, then it should not be that the trustworthy person will not broadcast these things. Any indications that the person might have been the dead person might have been a pious or a wicked person, for example, then the trustworthy person washing him will not tell about that thing, will not say that thing to others, except for example if it is a sign of piety for the that the dead person, there might be a sign of piety for him, then that is recommended. There's no harm in talking about that thing, but not about negative things. So, for example, the color of the skin of the dead person. Sometimes if it turns dark, like black or gray, it might indicate that the person was not an acceptable one by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it does not necessarily mean that. It might be a change due to the cause of death, for example, if one dies in an accident, or the cause of death will have an effect on the way that the body turns, the body turns. Now, intention should be made by the person who washes the dead body. As we know, for example, for the living person, when he takes a bath, a ritual bath, then he has to make an intention. But for the dead person, the one washing him should make the intention for him.
وضع يعني ساترا.
Then the washer should begin by lightly pressing the stomach of the deceased so as to expel, if possible, any remnants from it, and then wash the body of all impurities. Now about the room prepared for washing the deceased. There should be a room specially made for that purpose, and this has to be equipped with some drains, for example, and the table for placing the dead person on it, with the cover ready made or prepared cover on that table to cover the private part of the of the deceased. So again, the washer should begin by lightly pressing the stomach of the deceased so as to expel, if possible, any remnants from it, and then wash the body of all impurities. The washer should use a washcloth or wrap his or her hand with it, because touching the private part of the dead is haram or forbidden.
يعني يضغط إيه على بطنه وكذا يعني برفقة.
So the first step is to try to bring out any thing from inside the body of the deceased, any impurities. Because if this is not done, then these things will these excretions or wastes will start coming out of the body after he is shrouded. So it is better to try to get as much as possible of those wastes out of the body while washing it.
ويقول ان اثناء يعني مع كل ضغط وكذا احيانا يخرج يعني شيء من النجاسات يعني من دبر المتوفى وكذا اكرمكم الله. فالميت يكون المغسل يكون يلبس يعني قفازات.
So and with each with every time the washer presses on the stomach of the deceased, some waste might come out of the body, and so the washer should clean it with again, as we said, with his hand, his or her hand covered or wrapped in some washcloth. Now about pressing the stomach of the deceased, this excludes the case or the if the dead person was a pregnant woman, then it should not if one presses on her stomach, then this will bring the fetus out. But of course, if this is if the fetus was not alive, if he was alive, then he should be taken out surgically. So if the fetus was not alive, then the pregnant woman should not be the washer should not press on the stomach of the pregnant woman so as not to bring the fetus out. Now for some people things will not stop coming out of their body. Every time one presses on their stomach, something will come out. So if that's the case, then the then the exit of the body should be plugged, should be shot with like a piece of cotton or a piece of cloth to squeeze it in order to prevent any more excretions from coming out. After that, the washer should start by washing or by performing something similar to a wudu and ablution. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, begin washing the dead by washing organs on the right and those parts that are washed in ablution. So the Prophet ﷺ, when one of his daughters died, he told the woman washing her to start by washing the right side and by washing the organs of ablution. This is in order to crystallize the mark of the believer's parts of the body always washed during wudu that will shine forth brightly on the Day of Judgment. Because as the Prophet ﷺ told us that parts washed in wudu will be shining on the Day of Judgment and everybody will be known by his shining parts.